Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the testimony of so many others here and allowing us to know you so closely. Thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. And I know that we can never understand the full extent of that sacrifice, but we're grateful for our part of that and our limited understanding of it. We're so grateful for our Savior. And I do pray that now as we look into your word, that you would help us to think upon you. I pray that you would use this brief time in the word to challenge us, to encourage us. I do pray that the Spirit of God would give us specific applications in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would walk away from here changed, and that your Spirit would really pinpoint areas where we could use these truths. And I pray that we would be sensitive to listen to your word, and help us to be attentive to your word. Help us not to just be hearers, but doers. And so as we look at even some of the application of some of this stuff, I do pray that we would be doers of your word. Thank you for God's people. It's just warmed my heart to be able to sing together with them about you and the truths about you. And I just pray that you would just minister to us now as we look into your word. I know that I have nothing to share that's of my own wisdom. It's all you. And so I pray that you would be seen, that you would be heard in this. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time we can look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've been looking over, it wasn't last week because we didn't meet together. So the last time we met together on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, we began a series, What Should Ascending Church Do? What does Ascending Church do for a missionary or for a church planner? I want to share with you an ongoing ministry tonight, and Lord willing, the next time we meet, it's an ongoing sort of ministry of the sending church. And so last time we met together, we looked in Acts chapter 13 of the church in Antioch and how they sent out Paul and Barnabas. And do you remember what the first process was in sending them out? It was prayer. Prayer and fasting. And then they showed their blessing by recommending the work that they were doing. And you see that in Acts chapter 14, verse 26, where they were recommended for the work of the ministry. Let me ask you something. Are there things that you like? You find things from time to time and you're like, I got to show this to my wife. Or I got to share this with my friends at work. I got to share this with my friends at church. I've told you about this before, our new donut shop. Okay, right? Okay. You know that we've recommended that donut shop, right? So what do you do when you recommend something? Well, you share with others about it, right? Okay. You put your backing behind it, okay? And it's always you always are a little leery because it's like, I'm recommending something, but they might not like it. You know, they might not like these donuts, okay? But there's a certain amount of blessing that you put behind something when you recommend it, okay? And so there's an element in a sending church needs to recommend that work and get behind it and encourage that church plant, encourage others to be a part of that church plant. And we see that in Acts chapter 14. Then we saw that they partnered with them in sending out the work with Paul and Barnabas. And we looked at how the fact that a sending church and a church plant is kind of a together sort of ministry. It's a partnership between the sending church and the new church. And the partnership goes both ways. We saw that the sending church needs help to reach beyond their local area. And that church plant needs the plurality of support from the sending church and other like-minded churches. So it's a together sort of ministry where there needs to be, it's kind of, they're working together for the sake of the gospel in reaching those that are lost. And tonight, and Lord willing, next time we visit together, I'd like for us to look at several passages dealing with an ongoing ministry of the sending church. Okay, so this ministry that we're going to look at is something that we ought to be doing, and then we need to continue to do that. We'll see that from these passages. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. And if I asked you to memorize this verse right before the service, it's so short, you would be able to memorize it. Okay? It's so easy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25. I bet you if you looked up from your page, you could even quote it because you memorized it so fast. Could you? Okay, let's say it together. Ready? Brethren, pray for us. Okay, so what's the ministry?
Prayer.
It's prayer. Okay, the command is for us to pray. Oh, folks, we've been talking about this, even in our vacation Bible school, the importance of prayer. Prayer isn't just something we tag onto a ministry. It's what we need to start a ministry with. And it's so important. We need to pray for the church plant. I want to share some things that when we pray and we talk to God, it demonstrates some things. Okay, there's at least four things I want to share with you from this passage, what prayer demonstrates. First of all, he's telling us to pray. He's telling the Thessalonians, pray for us. Okay, he's in the business of planting churches. Paul was out and he was ministering the gospel, and he asked them to pray. And so we see that prayer demonstrates, first of all, a dependence upon God. When you pray, you're depending on God. Oh God, this is a new work. It's not ours. It's yours. And we're depending on you to build that work. And so when you pray, you're recognizing, you're demonstrating that Christ is the builder of the new church. And we're going to fully depend upon you. Do you know that church? There's so many behind the scenes things that happen with church planting and even missionary work. And oftentimes some of you have asked me, you know, what'd you do this week? And I honestly, I have to say, well, I can't remember. Okay, there's just so many. It's so fast paced, and there's so many things being built, but it can be easy. It's so easy to get caught up in any ministry, whether it's vacation Bible school or church planting or missionary work. It's so easy to get caught up in the logistics of things, but when you pray, you're saying, God, I depend upon you. Now, we need to work hard. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work. It's we need to put our mind to work, and we need to work hard in the things that God has called us to. But when you pray, you're depending upon God to do this work, and when you, as a sending church, pray, you're saying, oh God, we're not putting our dependence in Jake at all. We're putting our dependence in you. And folks, I don't take offense at that at all. I don't want you to depend upon me. I want you to pray. And I want you to depend upon God when you pray for the church plant. This isn't our work. Okay? This isn't Cornerstone's work. Reaching from Oakdale into Westerly isn't our work. It's God's work. And so when we pray, we're saying, God, we bow before you and we're depending upon you to build your church. So Paul asking them to pray for him, he's demonstrating to them that they need to depend upon God, and he's depending upon God also. Secondly, we see that there's an opposite of prayer. What would be the opposite of prayer? Okay, what can we call that? Okay, good. Let's call it prayerlessness. Okay, if he's telling them to to pray. The opposite would be prayerlessness. And it demonstrates some of what you guys were saying, that prayerlessness demonstrates our dependent on who? So when you don't pray and you're working hard and you're just focused on the logistics, you're demonstrating your dependence on you. And what is that, folks? When you're dependent upon you, self-reliance, it's pride. God, I got this. Okay? I'm not going to pray. I don't need to pray. Okay? Because I'm going to work hard. And oftentimes we replace prayer with working hard. And it's just a demonstration of our own pride, our own self, our own flesh. And what does God do with those who are proud? He abases them. He resists them. But He gives grace to who? Okay. So as we pray, we're demonstrating our total dependence upon God. God, I need You with this. And we humble ourselves before Him and we say, God, I can't do this. And what we see is He gives us the grace that we need. So first of all, prayer demonstrates a dependence upon God. Secondly, prayerlessness demonstrates our dependence on ourselves. And it's pride. It demonstrates our pride. Thirdly, we see that prayerlessness in any work. Okay, so we could take this and we could put this in Vacation Bible School. We could put it in any ministry. Prayerlessness, thirdly, hinders receiving blessings from God. So when you don't pray, you're demonstrating your own pride, but you're also hindering the work you're involved with. So when you're just working hard and you're, you know, God, I got this on my own, and you're not praying, it really hinders the blessing coming from God. Folks, we need to see that in any ministry that we're involved with. Especially, I think Vacation Bible School is a great example for us this week. When we don't pray, we're actually hindering blessing coming from God. Okay? And God a lot of times said, go ahead, do it on your own. And then what do we find? We can't do it. Okay, I can't do it. And so prayerlessness can hinder receiving blessing from God. And you know, in James 4:2, ye have not because you don't ask. Okay, you're asking not. Okay, so prayerlessness can hinder receiving blessing from God. So prayer demonstrates our dependence. Prayerlessness demonstrates our dependence on ourselves. Prayerlessness also hinders receiving a blessing from God. And then fourthly, we see that prayer accomplishes much in God's work. Prayer accomplishes much in God's work. And so why do you think Paul's telling them to pray? Because he wants to see a great work. He wants to accomplish something great for the Lord. And so when you pray, you're saying to God, God, I want You to accomplish this great work. I want You to do this. And we're depending upon You. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay? And so a lot of times we can get so busy. I'm glad God allowed me to come to this passage this week of Vacation Bible School. Okay? Because it's not only applicable for church planting or ministry at Cornerstone, it's so applicable for every ministry. And we need to pray. And if we would spend more time praying, I think we'd have to work a lot less. I know we would. God just has a wonderful way of just helping us as we pray. And it's so key. I shared with several of you several times over the last several years, you know, I was really up against a bind, like a time constraint. And I said, God, I don't even have time to study. Okay? I may have like 4 hours to study to prepare a sermon or something. And as I go to prayer and I just depend upon God, folks, I can't tell you how many times God has said, okay, Jake, I'm glad you finally realized that you can't do it. Here's the passage. Here's the 4 points. These are the illustrations I want you to use. Okay? It's not that He talked to me. It's not like He put it in a Word document or anything like that. Okay, but God used that time constraint to show me that I need to depend upon Him. And so prayer is the key to ministry. It's a key ministry of the sending church. It's the key ministry for those who are in Vacation Bible School. And folks, don't ever forget that. And And it's good to be reminded of this on a week like this, that we need God's help. And so we see that prayer accomplishes much in God's work. So 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul says, "Brethren, pray for us." So what does the sending church do? Praise. Okay, good. Let's switch over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'll show you another ministry here. It's the same ministry, but it's a little different. We'll end with this passage tonight, and we'll pick up in the other passage next time. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Let's read verses 2 through 4, and then we'll come back and look at some of these portions of this verse. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Notice what Paul is sharing to the believers in Colossae here. He's telling them in verse 2 to continue in prayer. Okay, so in 1 Thessalonians, we see that Paul is encouraging them to pray, and that's important. Okay, pray for us. But we see over here that there's a continual ministry of prayer, an ongoing ministry of prayer that needs to be happening. And so I want us to notice some dynamics of praying for a church plant. The first one is that we need to pray continually. Folks, do you ever start praying for something, you're really gung-ho about it, and then like a week goes by and you haven't prayed for it, or you just stop praying for it? Okay. For ascending church, the continual ministry of prayer is so important. The ongoing ministry of prayer. And do you see that? It's a command that's ongoing. Continue in prayer. Don't stop praying. For Paul here, he's encouraging, don't stop praying for me. Don't stop praying for the work of the ministry. And folks, can I encourage, don't stop praying for Westerly. Don't stop praying for Oakdale. Don't stop praying for the advance of the gospel. Don't stop praying for that. Okay? That's a ministry that we can do. Can I encourage you, even as we pray for Vacation Bible School, you may have done a great job praying up until right now, but we need prayer as we minister in Vacation Bible School. We need prayer right through to Friday and beyond, and we need to pray that the gospel will continue to move in the hearts of those young people and their families, even beyond the actual event. You see what I'm saying? And so we need to continue praying. Even when you think things are going well. So you may, in the future, you may look at the church plant and think, oh, okay, things seem to be going well. And, we're hearing these testimonies of these different miracles of building and maybe people getting saved. And, oh, these are great things going on. Folks, continue to pray. Don't stop praying. That's the ministry. Even if God allows Hope Bible Church to be fully independent, continue to pray for that ministry and the gospel to advance. So continue in prayer. Notice, secondly, in this passage, one of the dynamics is that we need to pray and watch expectantly. Notice at the end of verse 2, watch. So continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. What he's saying there is that we need to be watching for ways to thank God. So as you pray, you need to be watching and being ready to thank God for the things that He's doing. And as you pray, looking out and seeing what God is doing and praising Him for it and saying, wow, you know what? I just prayed for this last week and God opened this door, and I'm hearing that, there's maybe a building and there's not a building, or these are things we pray for. Praise God. Right. And watch expectantly. Amen. God, we prayed for this. And we... We watched, and you did this work. It wasn't Jake. It wasn't his family. It wasn't folks in Westerly. It was you who did this work. And folks, we've got to start praying and watching. You know, a lot of times we pray and we like hold back in our prayers because we're like, if I pray this way, you know, and it doesn't come to pass, maybe I'm not spiritual looking, you know, anymore. Folks, we've got to start praying and being ready to see God do great things. Amen. God, we want to see people saved. Okay? We want a building. Okay? We know this is important. We want the finances to come in. We want these things. And as you pray that way specifically, then you see God answer those things, He gets the glory.
Amen.
So we need to pray looking for those blessings, looking for those miracles, and expecting that God is going to do these things. So we need to pray and know that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we have ever asked or think. And when He does that, we need to praise Him. I think another thing, too, we need to watch for His wisdom in the ministry. So we need to pray for wisdom, but we need to watch expectantly and say, wow, you know, this is definitely the hand of God. Okay, the new pastor or the folks that are there, that's definitely not human wisdom there. But this is God's work. And praise God for the wisdom that He is giving there. And folks, I can tell you, as we have prayed, you know, it's just been a blessing to see God open doors, and you know, doors that we would never, never expect to be open. And God, even this week, several doors we were praying specifically for. We had meetings that we specifically prayed for. And we didn't know what was going to happen with any of those meetings. But God opened a door for us to share the gospel. And God opened doors to maybe have an inroad into Westerly a little more. And folks, we just need to be praying that way. And then we need to be watching expectantly. Okay, God, you opened this opportunity. Okay, do you want us to go in? Do you want us to do this? Okay, you did it. Then we need to praise Him. Okay, a lot of times we pray and then we forget to thank Him for it. And so we need to pray and watch expectantly. And then we see in verse 3 of our Colossians 4 passage, not only do we need to continue in prayer, but we need to watch expectantly. Verse 3, notice, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And so what is the thing that we need to pray for here? Well, I think in verse 3, we need to pray that God would miraculously open doors. You see that? Okay? That God would open a door of utterance. It's something He's got to do. Okay? So we need to pray, God, Jake can't open these doors. Jake can't open these opportunities. Jake doesn't have enough wisdom. The people in Westerly don't have enough wisdom, but God, You can open up these opportunities. You can open a door of utterance where, you know, maybe one day it's completely closed. The next day, the gospel's going forth to 100 people. We don't know. Okay? But God's got to do that work. And so we need to pray. We need to pray that way, that God would just miraculously open the doors for us to share the gospel. Folks, do you know that in Westerly, it is so closed to the gospel? I have had several pastors kind of in the fringe of Westerly say that they have tried to get a building. They've tried to get a ministry inside Westerly in the high school. They've tried to have a building in there, and they just absolutely can't get in. But God can do it if He wants to do it. And so, folks, it may look impossible to us, but with God, all things are possible. And so we've got to pray that way. God, would You open a door? Would You provide a building in some way? It's impossible. Other men have tried to do it, but You're calling us to do this. So how are You going to do this? Well, we need You to open the door. We need You to just give us opportunities. And you need to pave the way for us to be able to do that. Folks, do you believe God has a divine ability to do that?
Yes.
And so we have to pray that way. We need to watch expectantly that He's going to do it. But it takes us really just going to Him and depending upon Him in prayer and saying, God, you've got to do this work. And we depend upon You. And so the sending church needs to pray that God would miraculously open doors. That doesn't mean that I don't pray for that. I do pray for that. But this is a ministry that Paul was asking these believers, hey, would you pray that God would just miraculously open doors? And what a wonderful way God has to be able to open doors where other doors couldn't, just they were never opened before. I believe that God can do that right there in Westerly. Really looking forward to what God can do. So these two passages, we see the ongoing ministry of the sending church. It's prayer, and then it's not just stopping at that one time prayer. It's a continual ministry of prayer. And so, brethren, Cornerstone, would you pray for us? Okay, I think that's a good thing for us to consider. What does the sending church do? It has the privilege of praying. And if you're a parent or maybe a grandparent, and you've ever had the privilege of praying for your kids or praying for your grandkids, isn't that special?
Amen.
Okay. You can pray for them like no other because you know them, right? Oh, God, would you help this one? They're really struggling in this area. Oh, God, would you help them with this, that? Would you help them? And you have it just a special way. And as you pray for them, isn't your heart like almost endeared to them? Even as you pray for others, and even in the local church, okay, your heart is endeared to them. You know, folks, that's the same way with the sending church. You have the privilege to pray for a young ministry. You have the privilege to pray for a ministry that is going from here beyond this ministry. And you know me. You know my family. You know others in the area. And you have the privilege to pray and go before God and say, oh, God, I know Jake. I know him. And, you know, this may be a struggle for him. Oh, God, his children. Oh, I love that one. And I love them all. And would you minister? You have just such a special way to pray for the fledgling work. They're sent from here. And you have just a privilege to pray. So how can we apply some of these truths to the sending church? How should a sending church pray? As we close, I just want to kind of wrap up these two passages here. How does the sending church pray? Well, number one, it not only prays at the beginning, but it continues to pray. It prays through the whole process. The whole process of sending. Now, there is a lot of stuff that most people just sitting in the pew have no idea is happening with the church plant. Okay, it's just the nature of it. Okay, you know, there's websites being built, tracks, you know, video presentation, you know, prayer cards, like all, you know, meeting with people, all sorts of stuff. Can I encourage you just to keep praying? You may not hear that stuff necessarily going on or happening, but can I encourage you to pray right from the beginning all the way to Christ coming back? Okay? Just keep praying for us. Keep praying for the sending church. You could say that a sending church commits to continually praying. So, Lord willing, if Cornerstone is our sending church, one of the things that you are committing to do is committing to continually praying. Now, we're not just going to pray for you now, Jake. We're going to keep praying for you. And we're going to keep praying for that ministry to keep going. So would you commit to praying for us? I think that's a great thing for us to consider. Okay, and you may say, well, I don't agree with what you're doing. Okay, well, pray for us. Pray for us either way, right? Just pray for us. We need God's help. And then secondly, how should a sending church pray? We need to pray expectantly. Right? Okay? Watch it for what God's going to do. God, we believe that folks are going to get saved. And we're looking forward to folks getting saved. We want to see families grown spiritually. We want to see dads leading their family. We want to see moms strengthened. We want to see kids grow spiritually. We want to see a great work in that area. And so we need to look for that. But I believe in order for us to pray that way, if we're going to pray expectantly, what does that mean for us? Well, we need to actively engage with what's going on at the church plant. Right? Okay, if you're going to pray and watch expectantly, then we need to know what's going on. So when you hear of a need, start praying for it. When you see a need, You hear of a need, you can start praying specifically for that need. And I would encourage you, start praying for a building. Start praying for a place where we can meet and pray that God would open doors. Okay? You can pray that way specifically, and as God answers, you can hear the answer to prayer, and then you can say, "I was praying for that." Okay? Not for your own glory, right? But saying, I was part of that, and God answered this, and so praise God for that. Isn't that encouraging when you hear answers to prayer, and you were part of it, and God used you, and He did the great work, and so you can praise Him with thanksgiving. And finally, how should a sending church pray? Well, it prays for God's divine ability to open doors and to advance the gospel. Okay, so that's a great way for us to pray. God, we want the gospel to advance from here and to Westerly and beyond. Okay, wouldn't it be great if Cornerstone was a real pivot point for revival?
Sure.
Okay, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Okay. And not for our glory. But, that, I mean, we've been praying for that for, 20 years, probably more than that. Ever since pastor's been here, he's been praying for a revival. It'd be great to see God advancing the gospel in a mighty way. Wouldn't it be cool if maybe God was setting all this up because there was going to be a revival here and there was going to be a revival there and we needed to, set up, this for that? We don't know, okay? But we need to pray. In that way, that God would you just allow the gospel to have a great advance in that community. And so, folks, Oakdale certainly needs an awakening. But Westerly does too. It's 23,000 people. And not an independent Bible-believing church in the city proper. Okay, there's some ministries outside. Okay. There are some who would be gospel preaching, maybe a little different twist, but not many. Many are blinded by Catholicism. Atheism, liberalism, those are huge religions that are very rampant in that area. And God can break the hearts of the hardened. God can open their eyes to that. And so would you pray that God would open a door of utterance? God, give Pastor Jake and his family a platform to share the gospel. Okay? There's not, none of the Catholic churches are going to allow us, not that we would go and preach there, everything is owned by so many off religions. And God's going to have to do a great work. And so would you pray for us? Would you pray that the gospel would be uttered in places maybe we never could even imagine? I believe God can do that. But that's the ministry of the sending church, part of it, to pray. And then to continually pray. And then to continually praise God for what He's doing.
Amen.
And so my encouragement is to you is begin praying now that the gospel would advance. God will give us a building. God will give us strength. God would just give you a real vision, too, for that ministry that's advancing out of here. And it's all for His glory. It's all for His mission to get on board with what He's doing. And we can get on board right now. You guys can pray in a way that so many others have no idea how to pray. And it's a privilege as a sending church to be able to pray. And so, brethren, would you pray for us?
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for being our God. Thank You for just the wonderful gospel that You've entrusted to us to share with the lost. Lord, I feel so unable, so incapable of doing any work. And so we just depend upon You for doing a great work in Oakdale here and in Westerly. I pray that we as God's people would be men and women of prayer. I pray that we would continually pray. Help us not to stop. And Lord, may we see that the most important thing we could do is just humble ourselves before You. And we look for what you're going to do. We believe that souls will be saved. We believe that there are Christians even in that area that are discouraged and don't have a good church right there in the heart of Westerly. And I pray, Lord, that you would open doors of utterance for us to be able to preach and teach the gospel. I do pray that you would do a great work. And Lord, we're expecting you to do great things. You're the builder of the church. And so we look to you. Would you empower? I do pray for our week of vacation Bible school. I do pray that we would see young people getting saved. I pray for our own young people. I'm so thankful for all of our young people who are even represented here tonight. And I pray that you would help them to have a fun week, that they would be encouraged, give them opportunities to share the gospel with their friends. And I do pray that you would just open some doors into the lives of the families of the kids that will come and help us to be able to minister to them in a great way. Would you empower us, Lord, as we strive to do your work? Help us to remember that the ministry is the people. And help us not to get wrapped up in the logistics or the event. Help us to remember that you've called us to be ambassadors of our Savior. So I pray that we would just share the light of the gospel with those that come. Lord, would you give us a great week? We look forward to what you're going to do. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.